Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Thank you for joining us on the program today. Now, one review says every American should have a chance to read this book. Another, it will make you go straight to Google and start researching as much as you can. The book, 100 Years of Deception, a blueprint for the destruction of a nation, one citizen's attempt to shed light on the truth and inform people about what is behind the events we see happening today. That citizen is the author and our guest, Alan Adichick. He writes for that citizens for the United States have been played for fools for the past 100 years, with conspirators pulling the strings that make us dance and controlling the nation's media to keep us ignorant and compliant. Alan was raised in Brooklyn, New York, becoming an engineering student at the University of Michigan in its Naval ROTC program, received his wings as a jet fighter pilot in 1966. After his military service, he earned an MBA in finance. Various high-level jobs, Alan is a retired financial administrator from the city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He's the author of While We Sleep, A Story of Government Without Law, and An Alaskan Adventure, A Travelogue and Environmental Treatise, an author of the much-talked-about 100 Years of Deception, A Blueprint for the Destruction of a Nation, Alan Adichick, with us on This Week in America. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Great to be here, Rick. Thank you.
Alan, this is such a really strong, powerful book. In fact, you say it's basically the mother of all conspiracy theories, but you really back it up. You've got solid evidence in this book. Let's talk about what happened 100 years ago that you called basically the overthrow of our government. What happened then that we're still paying the price for today?
Well, Congress passed the Federal Reserve Act, which was an unconstitutional act, and that made the Federal Reserve Bank, which is not a federal organization, it's a privately owned foreign corporation, basically it granted them the authority to print our money, which means they really own the money, because when they print it, it belongs to them, and they loan it to us, and when they loan it to us, we have to pay it back plus interest. So in other words, they're creating money out of thin air, and which is a power Congress is supposed to have according to the Constitution. And when they create the money, we have to pay for the use of it by paying it back 100% plus interest.
How did this happen? This was in 1913, so this is not an era where you had internet and people could be outraged and form groups. You didn't have an active media at that point in time. Did people understand? Did Congress even understand what was happening in 1913?
I think there was a lot of misunderstanding around at the time, and it was primarily due to the efforts of the people behind these banks. Certainly, they're very persuasive. They're very well-heeled, and they're respected people. So it's pretty hard to just discount what they say and say it's all bogus and this is really a fraud and a con job, which it was. So people were taken in, a lot of people. Unfortunately, there were a lot of people that weren't, but they went along with the scheme because they felt it was in their best interest. They were part of the problem and definitely sold out their country.
Alan Adichick is our guest on the program. The book is 100 Years of Deception, a blueprint for the destruction of a nation. His last name is spelled A-D-A-S-C-H-I-K. The book's available at Amazon. You go to our website, of course, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on and get information and be able to order the book. The bank people you describe, I love the expression banksters. Talk about that, because that takes a normal banker and puts them in a whole different perspective when you put the stirs at the end of that. Banksters is what you call them. How did you come up with that term?
Well, it's very similar to gangsters, and
yes,
they are gangsters. It's a group of people engaging in racketeering, and the Federal Reserve Bank is nothing but a racket. It's a fraud, and the real problem is it's a horrible, horrible situation and a horrible thing that happened to us, because Congress, by passing the Federal Reserve Act, handed these people ownership of this nation. So they really own us now, and they do it through the inordinate amount of wealth that they have siphoned off of our economy. It's incredible. Take, for example, if some state or Congress wants to build a bridge, and let's say the bridge is going to be $100 million. Well, they print the money for nothing, for the cost of the ink, and that's not even true because the Treasury prints the money, so they don't even have to pay for that. They've done nothing, essentially, and they loan us that money that they just created, and we spend it on building the bridge. Well, the bridge is mortgaged. They own the bridge. We don't really own it. We think we own it because we use it, but they actually own it, and we have to pay them back through the years. Now, as we do so, of course, the bridge depreciates, and by the time we pay it back fully, it's out of date. It's reached the end of its useful service life, and we essentially own nothing, but they have the wealth that that bridge generated, and we end up with nothing.
Talk a little bit about your interest, where this started. I mentioned your background in finance with the MBA. Is that when you started understanding when did you realize the Fed was unconstitutional and really a bad thing for the country?
Well, I moved to Florida in 1974, and I opened up a school of gymnastics. And I did that for a while, but eventually I decided to seek a position that had a retirement with it. I wasn't getting any younger, and I secured a position with the city of Fort Lauderdale as a financial administrator. And I encountered a lot of corruption, and I started to not cooperate with it and actually try to expose it. And by doing that, I didn't realize how much I was hurting my career because I had no idea how truly in-depth the corruption was. So basically, I put a glass ceiling over my head. I never was promoted, although I did retire from the city. They tried to fire me for 17 years. And during those 17 years, I wrote my first book, which was While We Sleep, A Story of Government Without Law. I also had a website called the Constitution Forum. And it was through my book, writing my book and researching for it, and my website that I started to gather the pieces that eventually led to 100 Years of Deception.
The book is 100 Years of Deception, A Blueprint for the Destruction of a Nation. Alan Adachik is our guest on the program. Information on the book at Amazon. You'll find information, link on directly, as a matter of fact, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's amazing the level of research that you did, and I alluded to that in the beginning. It's one thing to make accusations. It's something else to be able to document. This is why I think the book is doing so well and will continue to do well. The topic of discussion is because you aren't just saying things, you're backing up what you're saying. And something I find fascinating, this is not just what banking that's impacted, this really, the impact of the Federal Reserve is widespread on our lives, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the thing that people should realize is, you know, everybody, you know, that doesn't like my book calls it, well, it's just a conspiracy theory. It is not. It's the true history of the United States. And the conspiracy theory doesn't come out of the facts in my book. It comes out of the deceiving line that we are being fed by government officials. Nobody really talks about how a government functions, how it works, and what's really going on. And that's a real tragedy. But the book is history. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's backed up with facts and events. And the truth is undeniable.
You say in the book, the government today is not the outcome of gradual changes over the years. It's the work of conspirators who meet in secret to plot our demise. So much I want to talk about there, but let's talk about that. What is the impact today? I mean, 1913 was a long time ago. It appears they're just as present and corrupt today as they were in 1913.
Well, a lot has happened. And what has happened is that although we still feel like we're the greatest nation in the world, and we are in certain respects, the fact is that the dollar that we have today is worth only 3% of what it was in 1913. We've lost a lot. We've lost the fact that we can no longer have a single provider family where the father works and the mother raised the children. We can't afford that anymore. So we've lost that. We also lost CDs. My father used to invest in CDs. He used to get 7 to 10%. That's an impossible figure today. People don't realize that as that is an economic loss, and it's very real, and it's one we're not going to recover from. So things are going downhill, and they keep going downhill, and people don't realize it because it's done gradually, and it just says, well, this is the way things are. Well, it is the way things are, but it's not how things should be. And we need to bring about change by essentially dumping the Federal Reserve, which is a criminal organization. And I strongly believe it should be more than dumped. These people should be charged, tried, and if convicted, sent to jail.
How do we go about doing that? Now, in the book, 100 Years of Deception, you've got you offer us some possible solutions, things that we can do to rectify the situation. If somebody is listening going, this is just me, I'm one person, these are banksters, these are people with tons of money and influence, what can we do as a nation to reverse this?
That's a very difficult question because, let's face it, the ruling establishment is the ruling establishment. They have all the guns, they have all the power, they have all the money, and we're essentially along for the ride. So my approach personally is to educate people as to what is really going around. And I truly believe that if enough people learn the truth, then we could start demanding that our elected representatives begin addressing these issues. And we would get candidates that would campaign on actually addressing them when they got into office. Today, all we get is I'm a candidate of change. And when they get in there, they change nothing. And as Trump has done, I mean, he's a bigger warmonger than Barack Obama ever was.
Well, and we see that where, yeah, everybody runs on change and suddenly they become part of the culture in Washington, D.C. And we see no change. The book, an important one, 100 Years of Deception, a Blueprint for the Destruction of a Nation. Alan Adichick is our guest on the program. Time going by way too quickly. Let's go back and talk about, I mentioned that statement from the book, conspirators who meet in secret to plot our demise. Where do they meet? Is this like an ongoing thing? First of all, make that part two. Part A, who are these people? Who are the banksters? Names that we would recognize?
Well, the banksters are, they've been around a long time. They're the online banking families that have pulled the strings that make us dance for centuries, really. And what most people don't realize, and this is an idea that I bring out in the book, and I think it's valid, that government corruption developed with the development of central banking. Central banking is such a fraudulent, corrupt operation that in order for them to succeed and grab hold of nations, they need to bribe their way in, so to speak. So really the basis of most corruption in most governments were the banksters who got in there and started pulling the strings that make everything dance, and they do it by their huge amount of wealth.
Do they have regular meetings, or where do they meet?
Yes, there was an actual meeting. There's a book on it. I'm sorry, I can't quote the author's name offhand, but The Beast of Jekyll Island is the title of the book. And what it is about is representatives from the big banking firms and the banking families actually secreted away in the middle of the night on midnight train rides and met on Jekyll Island, South Carolina, to plot the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. It was that meeting took place a few months prior to the actual vote that took place that passed the act. And so they planned out what they needed to do and how they were going to handle the situation to get the act passed. And it was passed with a minimal Congress because everybody was home, had left already to go home on vacation. So they really knew what they were doing. It was very deliberate. And the thing that I find most disconcerting is that in Jekyll Island, there's a meeting room that they met in, and within that particular room, there's a plaque commemorating their meeting. So they're actually bragging about overthrowing the United States and defrauding the American people. They're proud of that.
You've got a chapter talking about the curse of the proud American. I think you might have touched on that a couple of minutes ago. Talk about that. As I'm reading through the chapters, that one sort of jumps out at us because we all feel we are proud Americans. What's the curse connected with that?
The curse is that the curse of the loyal American, if you are a loyal American, you think that everything is as it should be. Yes, there's issues and problems with the country. They realize that, but they don't realize the true situation, and that is, this is not our country anymore. We are a subjugated people. They own the nation and they own us. And unless people realize that, nothing will ever change. And that's the curse. They, by thinking that everything is really okay and we got here by a normal process of evolution and not by a overthrow, they are in fact part of the problem and will not be part of the cure. And those are the people we need to reach and make realize that things are not the way they should be. In fact, things are terrible.
Talk about, a couple minutes left, talk about the role of the media. Some would listen, some would read and go, boy, we've got media all over the place with all the social media outlets out there, people that just publish things online. Why don't we hear more about this from the media?
Well, the media is essentially part of the problem and not part of the cure. The media is owned by the banksters, lock, stock, and barrel, and it basically does their bidding and has no interest whatsoever in waking anybody up to anything. And their prime interest is to sell advertising. And if they get too radical and get too left field, that advertising money will dry up. So the media is not going to do anything. They're a hindrance, not a help.
About 30 seconds left here. What kind of response are you getting to the book?
Excuse me now?
What kind of response are you getting to the book? I'm reading reviews and you have people thinking. You have many people who were outraged when they find out what happened and understand. We hear all the time about the Federal Reserve, really don't know the origins, don't know what the Federal Reserve is doing. We've heard it so frequently, we just think it's a normal part of life in the United States, a part of our democracy. What kind of response are you getting from the book?
I get very strong reactions. Nobody is neutral. They either hate it or like it. And again, I hate the book myself. I hate what the book exposes and what it shows. It's not something that's good. It's very bad, and it's something to be really ashamed of. But you can't deny the truth. And that some of these people, they dislike the book, so they'll just deny it, or they'll shoot the messenger, they'll attack me personally. I have some type of agenda, or I'm trying to make $1 million off of lying about the United States of America. That's all not true. I wrote the book because I want people to know the truth. And the ones that do, and the ones that have been frustrated because they didn't know what was really going on, really appreciate the book.
And the book is 100 Years of Deception, A Blueprint for the Destruction of a Nation. Alan Adachik, our guest on the program, that's Adaschik. The book's available, of course, on Amazon. You can link on directly to the Amazon link by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Alan, it was great having you with us on the program. This is a show that you will listen to, a book that you will read, and it will stay with you for a long time as you think about what's transpired over the course of time here in the country with the government. Alan, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Our connection signal here.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. We had a poor connection there for a while.
Yeah, I saw that come up. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. I really appreciate that.
Great to have Alan with us. The book is 100 Years of Deception, a blueprint for the destruction of a nation. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.